Welcome to this week's edition of the Africa Climate Conversations podcast. I'm your host, Sophie Mbogo. It's December and the holiday season is here. Unfortunately, this year's festive season takes place amid a global crisis, keeping us away from coming together with our large extended families. But it got me thinking, despite the crisis, somehow, with the families we are living with, even if we will not be able to travel or come together with our extended family, even probably with our nuclear family, which is sad, but then again, we still will eat, right? And even on a daily basis, we will still eat, we will still somehow manage, perhaps we'll manage to celebrate, but we will somehow generate a lot of household waste, especially coming from our kitchens. But the question is, how does this waste we generate and dump on landfills end up hurting our environment, you know, and the planet we live in, and, you know, coming back to hurt us? I am so privileged today to have three ladies on board today. I know I haven't done so well on this podcast when it comes to gender, but today I'm so happy to be joined by Maite Guardiola, who is the co-director of Dududunir, June Kemayo and Catherine Cherop, all from Dududunir, a Kenyan organization specializing in composting kitchen waste. Thank you so much, guys, for coming on board.
Thank you for having us.
Maite, please, let's start with you. Who is Maite?
My name is Maite Guardiola. And I'm a co-director of Dududunir, which is a home-based composting company. Mm-hmm. And my expertise is on hydrology, soil sciences, and basically on sanitation.
All right. And we have Catherine. So who is Catherine?
Catherine is a biologist. Mm-hmm. And I started working with Dududunir. I am really interested in climate change and conservation, and Dududunir has offered this very great opportunity.
Fantastic. And hi, June.
Hi.
Introduce yourself, please.
June. My name is June. I am an intern at Dududunir. So my interest is basically environmental engineering, mm-hmm. with concentration on policy making and management of water and solid waste.
Okay.
So I advocate for low waste lifestyle, you know, low waste, like zero waste lifestyle. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Zero waste lifestyle. That's a very interesting, and probably we could actually start there. When we talk about zero waste lifestyle, what does it mean?
Like you ensure your life, you live in a way that you ensure you don't have any waste when it comes to, you know, what you wear, what you eat, everything that you have in your house, and everything that you do, you just try to minimize every type of waste. Like you buy enough clothes that you need, you buy enough food, you have whatever is just, whatever you buy or whatever you have, you make sure it's just enough. You don't have extra because, you know, extra you end up not using and, you know, they go to waste, and
all right.
Basically, like low waste lifestyle is
okay. Interesting, and it's very interesting too, because when you think about lifestyle and people's lifestyle, I don't know where how possible it is for us to live without waste and basically buy what you need, you know. And when you're talking about food, simply buy what you need, what your family can eat, you know, and make sure with that. But we'll come to that. But I want to go back to Maite, and could you introduce Dududunir and tell us what is the organization all about?
The organization of Dududunir tried to encourage people to see waste as a resource, mostly organic waste, as some other product that we can benefit all, mm-hmm. basically trying to make compost, mm-hmm. even to households that have just a simple balcony or a little space, extra space, they can take action and convert their organic waste, mm-hmm. into rich fertilizer. Mm. So we want to really have a mindset change, and we offer really local tools in order to be able to transform the organic waste into rich compost, okay. at different levels. Mm. Yeah.
So basically why I wanted us to have this conversation today is because we are approaching Christmas. We're in December, and it's a month that is full of, you know, a lot of celebration, families coming together. It is so sad that this year we've got COVID-19, but I'm thinking this month is a month that there's a lot of food, people eat and people celebrating. And so June was talking about zero waste, I'm thinking there is no way we are not going to have this waste this particular month. And so when we're talking about kitchen waste, what kind of waste are we talking about?
So kitchen waste is basically organic waste, mm-hmm. which makes up around 50 to 60% of our kitchen waste, the organic waste. These are food like food scraps from veggies, fruits, and other the food from the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's basically mm-hmm. kitchen waste. And also there's inorganic waste from the kitchen, mm-hmm. which will be like plastic wrappings, paper, glass, tins, aluminium foils, you know, mostly actually this inorganic waste is like plastic from, you know, the wrappings when you buy food. Yeah, basically
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Maite or Catherine, do you want to add to that?
Yeah, well, I mean, you would have as well eventually some liquid waste coming out of the kitchen. Mm-hmm. But perhaps because we are not focusing too much in like treating or using the liquid, like grey water that might come out of your sink and so on.
Yeah.
We also waste that is generated oils from the oils that might be using for frying and so on, maybe additional liquid waste generated.
Mm, fantastic. How much do we generate when it comes to waste?
Over the years, we have had a lot of increase in the waste that we produce worldwide. Mm-hmm. And in Nairobi alone, we produce over 10,000 tons of waste in a mm-hmm. day. So thinking about 10,000 tons of waste, that is a lot of waste. And you can imagine where this waste is going to.
Mm-hmm.
We are having landfills every day. So in Mombasa, we are having 2,000 tons. In Kisumu, we have 1,000 tons. Mm-hmm. And Eldoret, we have 5,000 tons.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think of this waste, let's say in Nairobi,
mm-hmm.
it's like thinking of, you know, a truck, 500 trucks full of waste every single day.
Mm-hmm.
So this waste, especially the organic waste,
mm-hmm.
goes to the landfills, and when they compost, when they rot, they produce what we call methane gases,
yeah,
which are very harmful gases compared to CO2 mm-hmm. that degrades our ozone layer. And ozone layer is what is protecting us mm-hmm. from harmful rays from the sun, like the UV rays and the UVB.
And basically, Catherine, when you say we're producing about 10,000 tons of waste, are you?
Yes.
This is general or type of waste? Basically combined, that you're talking from the medical to, you know, household to, you know, every other kind of waste.
Yes, this is a general waste,
mm.
but for the household waste,
mm-hmm.
we'd be talking about 2,400 tons only in Nairobi.
Mm.
We produce 2,400 tons of household waste
every day.
Every day.
And so this is what ends up in the landfills every single day.
Yes.
And I'm actually thinking, Catherine, Maite, in June, and someone is listening to us and wondering, wait, yeah, the food that I cook and the leftovers that I just throw into my dustbin, it doesn't really have much effect, you know, to what extent does it, you know, this whole climate change, and you, Catherine, you talked about methane, and someone is thinking, how does that really come back to affect me? How does the waste that we generate every other single day, how does it come back to affect us? How does it affect the environment that we actually live in?
Yeah, so for example, any organic waste that is dumped directly into a landfill, which mm-hmm. is not processed, which is not treated, it ends up decomposing in what we say, lack of oxygen. There's no oxygen around. So mm-hmm. that is what regenerates what Catherine was saying, methane gases.
Yeah.
And methane gases is like what it has 28 to 30 times more effective to trap heat in yeah. the atmosphere, that CO2, meaning that anything that is transformed into CO2, I mean into methane, and goes to the atmosphere, mm-hmm. atmosphere will heat it up much higher. So this is why avoiding dumping organic waste into landfills can have a quite a big important impact, because at this point in time, mm-hmm. only 40% of the waste that we generate in Kenya is treated properly. And that's a quite a sort of like, you'd say, a high estimate. And if we go at the world level, less than 30% of our waste is being processed properly. So it means that all the rest is basically just dumped in different places and just generating this methane that straight goes to the atmosphere.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And so that, of course, comes back in terms of it's the earth warms so highly. And then for us in Africa, that's why we are talking about droughts are becoming more severe and they're becoming more frequent. And we talk about this so much. The Indian Ocean is warming at a very high rate, more than the, any other ocean, parts of the ocean. And then that's sending a lot of moisture into the atmosphere and also sending a lot of rainfall into eastern part of Africa. And also when we look into other parts of Africa, like the southern part of Africa, there's a lot of drought. The projection is that there's less water over the years. And so that's basically how, at the end of the day, our behavior, our waste from the kitchen, from home, and from different other ways that we generate ends up coming back to us.
Sophie, right. If you are a resident in Nairobi, you would realize that some of our rivers have been polluted and the quality of water is not very good. This is because the landfills are full and low-income people do not even have people to come and take their waste to take it to the landfills or the dumping sites. So they dispose this waste into the rivers because they cannot afford having this waste taken to the proper waste management plant. So we have polythene bags in the rivers and waste, even kitchen waste, which pollutes the water and have the aquatic animals and aquatic plants not have the best they could have if really this water was in a clean state.
What can people do at home to minimize the waste?
So basically, well, one of the things that you were saying is reducing what we buy, so we buy exactly what we need. Another thing that people can start thinking about is what we eat has also an impact in climate itself. It's like it's completely studied already that a meat-based diet has a much, much, much higher impact to climate change than a plant-based diet. So what we choose on eating, it does make also an impact. And then what we do with our leftovers, we can decide to compost our leftovers. We already minimize them, but we can process them at home, or we can make that they are not going to generate these methane gases that we were talking about. So right away, these three different things minimize the impact that us individually we have in this planet at the end of the day.
And I just want to follow up on the meat-based diet, because I'm thinking this is Christmas. And in many African settings, basically, you'll find there will be a goat that will be slaughtered. That is when families come together. So basically, and one of the biggest culture for many Kenyan people is nyama choma, basically, roasted meat. And I'm wondering, someone who is listening to us could be wondering, how does eating meat-based diet affect the climate?
Well, basically, because it's not only, you know, you can see it in a, perhaps it's more complicated to see in the Kenyan perspective, but if you go to larger meat eaters, that would be countries like the US, where you have, hectares and hectares and hectares of cows being fed by grain, of hectares and hectares and thousands of hectares of like grain being raised for feeding all these cows, where people eat like, I don't know now exactly the numbers, but a huge amount of meat at daily basis. So feeding these cows, feeding the gas itself, the methane that these cows also produce, is a whole chain that really contribute. It's a whole chain of emissions of gases. Also thinking that meat is being shipped all over the world in order to fulfill demand. So cattle that is being raised in Australia is being sold in the US or in Argentina to be sold in Europe. So there's all this movement just because of the amount of meat that we eat and of amount of calories by itself that we are eating.
Interesting. So basically, it's just not in you consuming meat. It's basically in the whole value chain. It's in the production and also in transportation of these particular foods, right?
Yes.
All right, perfect. And so I'm just going to cut, Catherine, maybe just a final word before we wrap up this particular session.
Yeah, I mean, basically, we would encourage people during this festive season to really consider composting. Because composting is a way you can trap all these emissions that we have already, the human race has already emitted for a lot of years.
Yeah.
We are trying, the way to curb climate change is to cut the emissions that are already in the atmosphere, CO2, we call it carbon print.
Yeah.
And also, we have the emissions going up since the 1960 up to now. So in order to make this curve go down, we need to stop and look for ways to reduce all these gases that are already in the atmosphere. So if we try and make our soils better, if we try and rejuvenate the soils will absorb excess carbon that is already in the atmosphere, and we will have cleaner air. So, I mean, I would really encourage, you know, anyone out there having their kitchen waste, don't throw it away. Don't just let it rot and emit these bad methane gases into the atmosphere and deplete our ozone cover. Rather, put it into a compost. Make sure you are covering up it well with, you know, having worms eating your food waste, and you know, protecting our home, protecting our earth.
Yeah.
Our planet, yes.
Okay. All right. Catherine and Maite, thank you so much. I can see we've already lost June. But I'm thinking, thank you so much for coming on board today.
Thank you, Sophie.
So we're going to wrap it here today. And then next week, we pick it up from here, because I'd want us to talk about how do people during this Christmas, and probably can people compost the waste that they have from home by themselves, or do they have to consult you? And if someone needed to know how to compost this particular waste, how do they go about it? So next week, I would want you to come back, and then we can talk about what to do. Does and come back with tips and what people can do during this particular Christmas to minimize the waste they're producing.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Perfect. Okay. Remember, you can listen to this podcast anytime and many more on our website, africaclimateconversations.com. Next week, we will give you tips on how to reduce your kitchen waste and how you can compost your waste on your balcony without a smell. Sounds interesting, right? Yeah, so see you next week. For now, kwaheri. Have a safe and productive week ahead.